know sometimes we want to act like we're all that, and a slice of bread like you're all so hot. You've got it so together. Listen, you don't got it together. None of us have it all together yet. We're not in heaven yet. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant's message this evening is taken from the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 30, where is recorded David's smashing victory and a counterattack against the Amalekites following a disastrous defeat. In this dramatic and true story of God's gracious dealings with David, Pastor Grant will show how, though defeats for modern saints may not be as dramatic in their resolution as that of David, there is hope in this ancient story for the believer in Jesus simply because they are held in His unchanging love and the powers of heaven are on their side. We invite you now to turn to 1 Samuel 30 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, How to Turn Your Setback into a Comeback. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Winston Churchill was now 57 years old, but in the last 3 years he had had three major setbacks. In 1929, with the American stock market roaring, Winston Churchill invested approximately in today's money $1.5 million. That was pretty much all the money he had. He invested $1.5 million in the roaring American stock market, and he said to his wife, finally, I can breathe because I've achieved financial independence. 90 days later, the American stock market crashed. You heard about the great stock market crash, the greatest stock market crash in history. Churchill had lost his financial independence and his money. 2 years later, Churchill, who had served for 26 years as a junior or senior minister in the British cabinet, 26 years, that's almost unprecedented to serve so many prime ministers in the cabinet. After 26 years, Churchill was unceremoniously sacked and banished to the political wilderness. Can you imagine the devastation he must have felt after being serving for so long? Well, to try and get himself together, to stave off the pressure from this whipping, and then also to get some money, he was broke, he decided to go on a speaking tour of the United States and Canada. And one day as he was in New York City, he was crossing the street, and of course, you know, they drive on either the right side or the wrong side. But Churchill was crossing the street and he looked in the wrong direction and he was hit by a taxi and it sent him straight to the hospital, and Churchill was hanging to life by a thread. In less than 3 years, he had faced three major setbacks. Things were so bad, one of his political opponents made the statement, Churchill is finished. But he spoke prematurely, because just 9 years later, in a state of incredible crisis, the same government that had kicked him to the curb would now call Sir Winston Churchill to serve a nation in crisis, and Sir Winston Churchill would lead Britain against Hitler. He would show courage. He would show such incredible strength that Sir Winston Churchill has been immortalized as one of the greatest prime ministers in British history. Three setbacks in 3 years, but Sir Winston Churchill had made an incredible comeback. This morning, God wants to talk to somebody. You may feel like Sir Winston Churchill. In fact, somebody may have said, you're finished. In fact, you may feel like you're finished, but I want you to know that the God that we serve is a God who is the master. He's a turnaround specialist. Amen? The God we serve is a turnaround specialist. And I want to say to you this morning that God has a message for you, because God wants to turn your setback into a comeback. Oh, somebody ought to be listening this morning. God wants to turn your setback into a comeback. You say, Pastor, I ain't going through a setback, so this message ain't for me. You better take your pen and make some notes, because your time coming soon. Amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was facing two major setbacks. For starters, King Saul had been trying to kill him. No, that's a setback. Wouldn't you call that a setback? King Saul had been trying to kill him. And so David had left Israel, and David had gone to hang out with the Philistines, and the leader of the Philistines, the king of the Philistines, had given him a little town called Ziklag, and so Ziklag had become Judah, now belonged to Judah, because it was given to David by the king of the Philistines. And so now here's David. Of course, you know why he had to run. You remember what was Saul's problem, because people were now singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his what? His 10,000s. And so Saul was a little, well, not more than a little jealous, and he's going to kill him. He's running for his life. David is hanging out with the Philistines. And here, you might not remember this, David is actually moonlighting with the Philistines. He is a warrior for the Philistines. Oh, you didn't know that part. Read chapter 28 and chapter 29. He's hanging out. He's doing a little moonlighting. He and his 600 men, they're fighting for the Philistines. And so they're taking territory for the Philistines. And that's how they're staying alive. Oh, by the way, in case this message, you say, this message for people like David who are men after God's own heart. I just want you to know, right now, David is not really doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's doing like some of us. We're doing some stuff that we ought not to be doing. Are you with me this morning? In fact, the Philistines are about to fight Israel. I want you to read it on your own in chapter 29. I don't have time to go there. And David is saying, oh, yeah, we can fight with you. We can fight with you. Of course, God saved him, because some of the Philistines didn't trust him. They said, if we're going to fight Israel, next thing you know, this man betrays us, and he comes on the back, and he kills us from the back. So he said to the king, send him home. Send him and these Israelites, send them home. So they're sent home to Ziklag. David and his boys, a three-day journey, 55 miles, 3 days to get home to Ziklag. And when they arrive in Ziklag, setback number two. Oh, you heard it in the scripture. When they arrive home, Ziklag is burned to the ground. And all their wives and their children are G-O-N-E gone. Now, read the verse number 3 in case you don't believe me. Verse 3, so David and his men came to Ziklag, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken. And David's two wives were captured. Poor David. You know, he had another wife before, and she had also been taken back by her daddy. And poor David, he had three wives. By the way, this is not God's method. But all his wives are gone. Now, for some guys, they wouldn't really mind if their wives were gone. You know, we were down in Egypt some years ago, Cheryl and I, and we were by the pyramids. And I'll never forget, because here we were at the pyramids. Our tour guide told us, be very careful. When we come out, there are going to be people with camels, and they're going to offer you rides. They said, don't take any of the rides. I have my guy lined up to take us. Well, the people on the other bus, our friends in the other bus, didn't know about it. They came off. They said, may I give a ride to my American friend and his wife? So my American friend, of course, he jumped on one camel with the leader, and his wife jumped on another camel, and they went out side by side into the desert. Then all of a sudden, the leaders decided to take the camels in different directions. And so the man said, what about my wife? My wife. He said, that would be $200 for your wife. The man behind me, when he heard the story, he said, it's a good thing it wasn't my wife. He said, if it was my wife, and I said, I'll give you $200 to keep my wife. But that was not David's mindset. David was really hurt. This was a major setback. You know, setbacks come in all shapes and sizes. I don't know what your setback is. You know, sometimes setback comes because of work-related setbacks. I met people who thought they were going to get a promotion only to find out that they're about to get fired. I've met people who, you know, some of the challenges are health challenges, and we have several, even in our church. There are people right now in the church with health setbacks. Sometimes you thought you had gotten rid of cancer, and the next thing you know, the cancer is right back. Your case, it might not be cancer. It is something else. But sometimes the setback is a health-related setback. But sometimes it is a relationship setback. All sort of family relationships. You thought you had married the dream of your life. Only find out it wasn't a dream. It was a nightmare. So there are all sorts of setbacks in life. But I believe that this story today, as I studied this story, I believe this story has some unbelievable principles that every Christian can grab a hold of to help us in our time of setback, to go from setback to where? To come back. May God help us as we look at these five principles. Principle number one, we must take the risk to be vulnerable. We must take the risk to be vulnerable. Look with me at 1 Samuel 30, verse number 4. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Brothers and sisters, these were 600 of the toughest men on the planet. 600 of the toughest men on the planet. But they were crying their hearts out. They cried until they had no more crying to cry. And I want to say to you, my friend, that no matter how tough you are or how tough you may think you are, it's okay to be vulnerable, because sometimes we need a good cry. Sometimes the healing will not begin until we get a good old cry and express the deep feeling of our heart. It's okay to be vulnerable. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, we're living in a world where many young people have been sexually abused by relatives and by other people they know. You might be shocked how high the percentage is. I did a little research and I was blown away that almost 5 of every 20 young people have been sexually abused by somebody they know. And usually, because this child has been abused by somebody they know, mama says to them, shut up and try and tough it out. But this child is going to eventually have to deal with the trauma that they have experienced. It has to be dealt with. And I want to say to you, my friend, because I believe it's very possible that I'm talking to someone who has been abused, you have been victimized, and you were told to tough it out, or you have been trying to tough it out, but your life is still in a downward spiral. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word that it is okay to be vulnerable, and perhaps it's time you say something to somebody about what was done to you so that the pain finally can be dealt with. And the church must be a place where people can be vulnerable and not feel that you're going to take advantage of them. Might God cause that his house would be a house where people can be vulnerable with each other and find help and salvation. A place where we can cry together, where we can rejoice together. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 tells us we must rejoice with those who rejoice and that we must weep with those who weep. And may God help us that we might not just be a place to rejoice with those who rejoice, but that indeed we might recognize that sometimes somebody needs someone to be vulnerable with. Somebody needs someone to cry on their shoulder to say how much they hurt. Can you be that brother, that sister, who somebody can cry on your shoulder and say, listen, I am hurting deeply. To get from setback to comeback, the first thing we see in this story, it is incredible that God puts it there, that David, this incredible warrior, this man who killed Goliath, this man who is moonlighting, killing all the enemies of the Philistines, this man and his 600 men are sitting crying till they could not cry anymore. But listen, it's one thing to be vulnerable with people. It's even more important to be vulnerable with God. Where we tell God, oh, sometimes we want to act like we're all that and a slice of bread, like you're all so hot, you've gotten it so together. Listen, you don't got it together. None of us have it all together yet. We're not in heaven yet. Amen. Sometimes we need to have a good old cry where we tell God the pain we feel and we can pour out our hearts to God. Hallelujah. Listen, God wants to hear. Psalm 147:3 tells us that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Young person, older person, I want to tell you this morning, I'm talking about a God who is concerned about your pain. He's touched, my Bible tells me, with the feeling of your infirmities. You can come to him. David cried out bitterly. He cried out to the Lord, and God heard him. But David didn't stay there, because you don't get from setback to comeback if all you do is cry. You need to cry, but there's got to be another step, amen? Principle number two, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Principle two, strengthen yourself in the Lord. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But what? David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Listen. We must what? Strengthen ourselves in the Lord. David's men were so discouraged. They were so frustrated. They will stone him. You know, it's amazing. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you are frustrated, the people you lash out at most easily is who? The people you care for the most. Somebody perhaps needs to go home today and say to somebody, I'm sorry I lashed out at you. Because I bet you if you were to search your heart, you have lashed out at somebody you shouldn't have lashed out to because you were so frustrated. And this is what's going on here. These men, David is very special to them, but they're about to stone David because they're hurting so deeply. And if somebody lashes out at you because they're hurting so deeply, I beg you, don't hold it against them for life. Are you with me? Don't hold it against them for life. David was about to be stoned. There's nothing in the text to show that David is going to take it out on them. Instead, David draws close to the Lord. David strengthens himself in the Lord. Who do you turn to when you have a setback? You know, I find that many Christians, many people, and sadly even Christians, they don't do what David did. When they are facing a setback, instead of turning to the Lord, what do you think some people do? They run away. I know Christians who you can know that stuff is going on in their life. You know how you know? You don't see them at church. They used to come to the prayer meeting and pray for everybody else, but now they're going through some drama. They don't come to prayer meeting. Listen, the model, we must follow David's example. This is so important in times of a setback right now in the drama that you're going through. God is saying you need to draw near to God. The Bible says, James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to him. Don't run away from him. Don't stop your devotions. Every now and then somebody tells me, I don't pray anymore. I don't read my Bible anymore. Let me say this to you. It's up to you whether you read your Bible or pray. Don't say, I can't. You can. You can just pick up your Bible and start reading. And then you can say to God, God, right now I'm not feeling it. Will you control my mind? Would you help me? When you are facing your setback, never forget this. That's the time to draw very, very close to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 41, verse 10. We're going to put it on the screen so everybody can see it. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. It says here, don't be afraid, says God, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged. For what? I am your God. Oh, I hope he is your God. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end to receive him as your Savior. Because listen, this comeback isn't going to happen unless the mighty hand of God intervenes. And you've got to come to know him. And he says, I am your God. And because he is my personal God, he says, I will what? I will strengthen you, and I will do what? I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Do you believe that God can strengthen you? Do you believe God will help you? Do you believe God will hold you up? Hallelujah. Listen, and his hand is what? He says, my victorious right hand. Hallelujah. Listen, we need to make sure that we take the risk to be vulnerable, but we must make sure we strengthen ourselves in the Lord.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it,
God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.